Hello, Internet. Welcome to a very special episode of the Every Joe Podcast.
The Specialist.
The Specialist episode. EJPC, your political safe space. I'm Brodigan. And actually, instead of guests this week, we've got the creative triad, as opposed to the nuclear triad that current frontrunner knows nothing about, which we'll get to. the creative triad behind the Every Joe Podcast. Of course, our boss and peerless leader, through whom all things are possible, Brendan Morris.
Howdy.
And mega producer, Aaron Gardner, who has a weekend this weekend. Aaron Gardner.
Hi, I just knocked over my microphone and probably messed up the shot, so. But this is what happens when the producer is on camera.
He can't be trusted.
You know, something, it's we haven't been technical problem free since we started doing this thing about 8 years ago, so why start now?
Yeah.
So yeah, like I said, very
appreciate special. The endorsement there.
it's become a charming part of the show. It's
like, yeah, it actually has. So it's part of the Every Joe Podcast drinking game where someone sound goes out, take a shot, which isn't wait a second.
This is actually like in no way Aaron's fault though.
No, not at all.
Horridness that is Google Plus.
Yes.
Yeah.
Aaron is actually a brilliant producer. The problem is Google Plus and Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
For the most part. But the real problem is Donald Trump.
Yes, which is what makes this a very special episode.
Yeah.
See how that producer skill works?
That was a good done, Aaron.
So on Thursday or Friday, Eric Erickson, who's been a guest on a show, good friend of ours, and quite frankly, I think influenced why a lot of us got involved, wrote a piece for The Resurgent about how it's getting to the point where conservatives have to declare and make sure it's crystal clear that we will not support Donald Trump, even if he is a Republican nominee. Right. Whether that means pro Cruz or pro Rubio, people get fight about that on Twitter. I'm sure whatever they fight about today, there's going to be a different fight on Wednesday because that's what we do. But after that happened, Aaron came up with the hashtag Never Trump.
Slight clarification here, and I love the credit, but I didn't actually come up with the hashtag. I was maybe the third person to see it and retweet it, and then I said, you know what, we should get this trending. So slight clarification. I don't want to take full credit. There was another person who actually tagged it first, and I'd hate to have somebody come back later and say, oh, Aaron Gardner's a fraud.
So like we said, Aaron came up with the hashtag all by himself, whatsoever. trending national worldwide, and then yesterday Donald Trump was unable to denounce the KKK when asked three times because he needed more information
about the KKK.
Yeah,
because no one knows who the KKK is.
No. I mean that's like Kentucky Fried Chicken Colonel's Club, right?
Yeah.
And look, I want to just point out because you know today is the anniversary of Breitbart's passing. Someone else who we all looked up to was an influence on ours.
And big time.
He was big about pushing, you know, because, you know, what the media would always do is that they would find that one guy in an audience and who said something racist or something stupid or had like an offensive T-shirt and expect everyone to denounce. And he was very big and justifiably so in pushing back in that, not letting it smear an entire movement, which I see a lot of our colleagues for some reason saying like, well, it's not up to him to denounce it. I'm just going to put this out here. There is a world of difference between pushing back on the media because some random guy in an audience had something, an offensive shirt. And there's another thing altogether when the 67-year-old front runner for a major political party, when given free opportunities, can't simply just say, of course I denounce the KKK.
Right.
And by the way, and then segue to the point about how the media is the media double standard.
Exactly.
Yep.
There should have been zero reason that he didn't respond with, of course it's bad, but how come you're asking me about that? Why aren't you asking Dems about this kind of thing when they're the ones who actually have policies that hurt minorities and have for years now, decades?
Right.
Why are you asking me that?
And see, this is the thing to me. So this whole cycle, we've been told that he's a media manipulator and a genius and he can do all these great things. But to me, when the rubber meets the road, he's failed each time. Mm-hmm. On Benghazi, he went and undercut what the Benghazi committee was doing. On Planned Parenthood, he went and undercut our message on, you know, no, don't sell baby parts for profit. You know, mm-hmm. On KKK stuff, on being racist bastards, he's been undercutting the GOP and more so the conservative message the entire time.
Yes.
And the thing is he had the opportunity to make a brilliant moment and make a brilliant comment about conservatism, the media, and the KKK. He could have had the trifecta. He could have been Reagan just then. And he chose not to be. He chose to be a punk. He chose to be weak. And he chose to act like he didn't know what was going on. Oh, I don't know what's going on. Oh, my fingers aren't long enough to figure out what KKK is. So, I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous. And then you have these people who claim to be the anti-social justice warriors, and they're all of a sudden they're on their fainting couches because people made fun of Donald Trump's fingers, and they think that it's just wrong that the media would ask Trump about the KKK, but they don't say anything about him blowing the moment and blowing the opportunity and what happened to him being a master manipulator of the media. He's not. He got
and the smartest guy in the room, by the way, who knows and remembers everything.
Absolutely. One of the best all-time greatest memories in the world.
He doesn't know who the KKK is or how to respond properly to a media assault. Give me a freaking break, dude. You are not anything that you say you are. And I love the fact, Aaron, I wish that there was like a choir behind you or something. No, he gets so triggered so easily.
Oh, he does.
Funny, and it's funny because he's supposed to be the guy who's telling it like it is, and you know he's got the loyalty of the anti-PC crowd and you know the anti-SJW crowd. Yet this is the same crowd that the moment you even look at Trump funny or breathe air out of your nose that you know seemed a little bit derisive, they lose it. They appear in your timeline to accuse you of being a leftist and a liberal, and you hate freedom, and you're a secret. I don't know, cuck or whatever.
And the beautiful thing about all that is it's 100% projection. Just like 90% of Donald Trump's campaign. When he talks about amnesty and he blames other people and he's it's projection. We found out for sure he hires illegal immigrants.
Yeah.
There you go. We know that there were people in his campaign who were aligned with racists. We know this. Okay.
Yeah.
They've been fired for their comments, right? So why are we going to act now like he doesn't know anything about racism? Why are we going to act like his former statements, I think it was back in I'm talking about the Reform Party days.
2000.
In 2000 when he actually called out Pat Buchanan for being a horrible Nazi and called out David Duke for being a KKK member. I mean, are we supposed to forget these things? Are we supposed to act like none of these happened? I think that's what the Goebbels side of Trump's fan base wants to happen. Those people who believe that they can just continually lie and continually use sites like Breitbart and the great name of Andrew Breitbart to push this liberal in the office. And it's sickening.
I want to segue off of that a little bit because one of you or both of you, because it always comes up. You always hear a lot of like, oh, well, this is in response to the GOP establishment and Trump's not our enemy. We need to destroy the GOP establishment and Trump's going to destroy the GOP establishment for us. I've got two big problems with that.
Mm-hmm.
One is that none of the three of us or anyone we've had on the show or we'll say about 70 or 80% of our colleagues are fans of the GOP establishment. That's why we've spent at least the past 8 years, however many years, rallying around people like Ted Cruz and Marco Rubio and Scott Walker and Bobby Jindal and Rick Perry and Rand Paul. So that way, when it came down to run for president, we were actually going to have people where we didn't have to rely on the GOP establishment. We were going to have people who were actually strong conservatives who could actually explain conservative policy to the masses. Some of our same colleagues who were with us then now decided now that they could actually run for president. Oh, well, we don't actually want them. We want, you know, a fictional character. Because that's basically what you see on TV is Donald Trump the fictional character, not
Donald Trump. Oh, absolutely.
Right.
So they're pushing like, well, we need this fictional character because he's going to fight the establishment, even though, he, you know, every single policy.
He's running as the left wing's caricature of Ronald
right.
Reagan.
His actual positions, though, if one of the Republican flipped on even one of those positions, they'd be persona non grata. I mean, Jeb Bush was disqualified. I'm a fan of his, but Jeb Bush was disqualified because he gave Hillary Clinton an award. Meanwhile, Donald Trump flipped on every position and donated $20,000, tens of thousands of dollars to her campaign.
Oh, let's go over these positions too, by the way. For Common Core until he was called out for it, and then he suddenly wasn't, right?
Right.
For Planned Parenthood up until 2011, just right before his GOP run. And by the way, he wasn't just pro-abortion. He was pro-partial birth abortion.
Yep.
Right up until the point that he had to change.
I mean, this is the same policy position as Barack Hussein Obama, okay?
Yeah.
And by the way, for pro-Planned Parenthood, as of a week ago on Meet the Press.
Right. Because they do good things for women.
Oh, yeah. Except for the fact that, like, you know, every clinic can do what Planned Parenthood does and more than
right.
Planned Parenthood.
And you don't run the risk of dying.
Oh, exactly.
Everyone leaves alive.
Planned Parenthood, by the way, is solely donates and is donated to from Democratic sources. There's an article of it about it from me at everyjoe.com. I'll link it in the description. Y'all, there is no reason to back Planned Parenthood. We are a party that does have absolutes, and that is one of those absolutes. Planned Parenthood is a corrupt organization that kills children. You don't smile on it. You don't hesitate to defund it. You attack and you kill it. That's what you do when you're a Republican.
And this is the same thing that he's done with the KKK. This is what I'm saying before. You know, you don't ever waste an opportunity to mm-hmm. say that the KKK is horrible or that Planned Parenthood right. is horrible. You don't waste right. those opportunities as a conservative or as a Republican. And those who right. do are the people that we've been fighting against for years and years and years. And those exactly. people who just mindlessly say, oh, we need to get rid of the establishment. You know, it's a little more than that. We don't,
well, right.
we That's want, we, point. We want, it's not the establishment as a infrastructure that needs to go away. It's the people who are currently running it. We need a conservative right. establishment. And, you know,
right.
some people don't like that. Some people, you know, I'll give you an analogy. Back in the day, Metallica, it was raw, it was hard. And then they, you know, went big with Metallica Black and everybody said they sold out. Well, let me tell you this. Just like Metallica said, yeah, we sold out. Every mm-hmm. fucking seat in the stadium. That's what I'm talking about. I want the conservative establishment to be there.
Right here.
Yeah, the goal was to overtake the establishment and become it.
Right, exactly.
You know? There's nothing wrong with being king of the castle if the ruler is fair and just and sticks to his conservative principles. That's right. fine. That's what we wanted in the first place.
We want a responsive establishment. That's exactly. what we want, and that's what conservatives exactly. need is to be that responsive establishment.
Exactly.
That's how we win. Whenever, that's how we won in 94. That's how we can win now. I mean, it's not
exactly.
rocket science.
And let's look at it this way. You know, I mean, like, we've had a lot of Tea Party victories in the past. We've had a lot of people come in that we just love to death, like Cruz and Rubio and et cetera, et cetera. Rand Paul being a big one. We have actually done a lot to replace this establishment GOP that we hated, the ones that were working with the Dems with these really great candidates. We are the establishment now, or at least we are pretty much almost the establishment now completely.
Right.
They want to tear down the same establishment because they think that this is still a bad GOP. No, it is improved by leaps and bounds. What you're destroying is something that you created.
Right. And, you know, we're on the precipice. I mean, if you honestly think about it, if we got either Rubio or Cruz into the White House, okay, and we had a good bit of coattails off that in the Senate, we could be looking at a Senate majority leader named Mike Lee.
Yeah.
I mean, do we want to throw that away on Donald Stubby Fingers Orange Face Trump?
And not to mention, even if we're looking at Cruz and Rubio, where, and look, I'm a Rubio supporter, but I'll admit out of the two of them, he's the least conservative. Even the least conservative of the two of them, the establishment had to come to him.
Yeah, exactly. And that's something I wanted to point out to people too. Yeah, that's exactly true. Yeah. They had this, their pick was Bush. They had to swallow Rubio.
Yeah. And you know, the counter side of this is Donald Trump again.
But it was too big to swallow.
The counter side to this is with Donald Trump picking up Jeff Sessions. Okay, so Donald Trump is this big war. He's this hero for conservatism. He's this hero for the GOP. Oh, right. Jeff Sessions, 80% Heritage Action Score. Isn't that what they would call a rhino? I mean, because Cruz is 100%. Marco Rubio is at 94%, I think, somewhere around there, 96%.
That seems to be what this new establishment is that they want to form. It's like, okay, well, they stand for against immigration, and it's gotten to the point. It's not just illegal immigration, just immigration, period. Yeah. They're against immigration, they're against trade, and the rest will fill in depending on poll numbers.
Yeah. Right, exactly. And that's the worst part about this is it's so much of it is just stick your finger in the air populism with no principled base. And exactly. that
it's rage against the machine.
It's Robespierre. I mean, it's ridiculous. Yes. People are going to end up getting heads cut off if we go down this route. And I hate to be hyperbolic or whatever, but that's what history shows.
You're not let me point out two important facts right now that people are rooting for Trump and completely ignoring right now. Eminent domain laws. Trump loves them. He wants to expand them. He loves the idea of government taking private land. So what is yours is his. Libel laws. He wants to reopen libel laws, make them more loose. That means that anything that anyone says online, like a reporter, journalist, or even every Joe on the on Twitter or something like that, can be sued for saying mean things, by the way.
I think you mean every Joe.com on Twitter.
Exactly.
Let's go down this list here real quick, and let's actually talk about this. So
yeah,
he's willing to take land by force and use it for whatever he wants. I think that probably goes towards the Fourth Amendment being destroyed. He's willing to open up libel laws to make them more like England, which, you know, hello, let's just say it.
Backwards.
They have no First Amendment. So we've just taken away the First and the Fourth Amendment. Let's not stop there. Let's talk more about some of his positions. He is for an assault weapons ban. He was for an assault weapons ban for in the past, and I truly believe that he probably will be for one in the future. That's the Second Amendment gone. So we have the First, Second, and Fourth gone. The Third Amendment, what's that? Quartering. Oh, gosh. Tell me you don't think this guy would quarter soldiers in your house. So we have the first four amendments gone already, and the Fifth Amendment is right not to incriminate yourself. Well, I think with the way his libel laws are going, I think we could probably assume that the Fifth Amendment is going to go away as well.
The pattern here
so
is that
half of the Bill of Rights, just by the words that he said throughout his campaign, are being threatened.
Exactly.
People need to wake up and understand Never Trump is it's the call of our time right now.
Amen. Amen. That's it. You know what? It breaks my heart too that we have gotten to this point. We were supposed to be so happy because we were facing the end of the Barack Obama presidency. He was finally going to be out of office. We had brought in all these candidates from the Tea Party and all this stuff to run and to actually like become president so we could turn this nation around. But instead, we're having to fight a reality show host who is making his fame off of being the villain.
Yeah.
No joke. There's this
video. And the victim all at the same time. Yeah, yeah. The villain and the victim all at the same time.
There is an awesome video. I don't know if any of you have ever heard of the Game Theorist channel with MatPat. He also runs one called Film Theory. And basically, it's one of the smartest shows on the internet, and he really analyzes things and gets down to the bottom of why things work or how things happen, science and stuff like that. He did an episode on Trump and why Trump is so popular. He's so popular because he is using reality show tactics. He becomes the villain. He says all these insane things. He says whatever he needs to say at the time, like sociopathic, and it gets him popular. That popularity leads to votes. It doesn't matter that his positions are not very solid, or that he, when he gets up on stage, you can't even make sense of what he's saying because he's rambling so much. It doesn't matter. The media will Photoshop his campaign so that it looks better.
And that's the thing that drives me insane, because we'll have a lot, again, and this is a lot of people that have been colleagues for the past 8 years saying, like, well, other campaigns should study what he's doing and emulate the influence he has on his audience. It's like, well, no, because if anyone else besides Trump did that, that person would be labeled a flip-flopper and someone who you're going to trust on issues.
Yeah.
Well, the big thing that you know, I tried to get people to understand early that, you know, you need to take Trump seriously because he will be able to convert these crowds into votes. And people didn't believe it. And the reason why I knew that it would happen is because I was a big fan of The Apprentice. I watched mm-hmm. every episode, every season, and I watched how he did things. He would make people show up to random events in less than 24 hours with huge crowds and very little budget with these teams of people, all using social media and just their individual personal networks. And if you don't see how that translates to organizing for a caucus or a primary, mm-hmm. you're a dummy.
Mm-hmm.
And people didn't comprehend that what was in the reality shows was his test run. That's what he's been building. He's been building a way and a concept of how to convert digital action to physical crowds to votes. He's been doing it for a long time, and people didn't understand it. Now, all the other stuff about the communication side, he's just playing old school Alinsky tactics, and that's where he comes from. I mean, he's a Democrat, he's a liberal. That's where he comes from. So it's not surprising.
Way, even regardless, Rubio is still better at him at.
He is, and the thing is the thing,
people who are like celebrating him doing it uh-huh. are now criticizing Rubio for doing it.
Yeah, exactly.
right, because they're hypocritic liars and they're a bunch of fainting little girls and they love stubby fingers or something like that. And yeah. You know, I want to go to a point on the Never Trump hashtag here. So we started that at about 5 o'clock Mountain Time, maybe a little earlier than that on Friday, I believe it was, that it started. And within the first 24 hours, while I was still able to track it, it had 500,000 tweets. And it was huge. And then all of a sudden, it went away from all the trending places.
Did it?
Yeah. And
Twitter killed it.
Twitter killed it. And it came back, and then Twitter killed it. I actually have screenshots of documents showing where it was, where people had left their screen open to see how many tweets had built up on the Never Trump hashtag. And and they did it for Never Trump and also that other copycat response, flailing girl response back, always Trump, you know, which is funny because the always Trump hashtag, there's a lot of people on there who were calling the Never Trump people cultists and stuff like that. And I'm like, okay, think about the hashtag. Okay, we're saying we're never going to vote for Trump. It's not that we're following anybody, just we're not following your guy. You're saying always Trump. I mean, literally, you're
always,
you're providing us with this great mental imagery of you getting down on your knees for Trump. Mm-hmm. And I'm not talking about in prayer.
Yeah, exactly.
So the response to Never Trump comes out, and it doesn't get 1/5 of the tweets that ours did, and yet it's all of a sudden trending.
Right.
On Saturday at noon. And so it's interesting to me what's going on here, because there's all sorts of media manipulation that's been going on from the Donald Trump campaign. I think we all know it. It's the unspoken secret that, you know, Trump is paying certain websites and other organizations to keep him in this. I mean, even the American Conservative Union has gotten so many donations from Donald Trump that you know, even though Trump can't disavow the KKK, he's still going to speak at CPAC, which is absolutely disgusting.
Remember when we were kicking out Go Proud?
Right, exactly. You know, and I was part of that. I mean, I didn't think Go Proud was right to be there and having a speaking role and stuff like that, because I mean, conservatism has certain roles, but you know, that's besides the point now. And you know, kicking out GoPro versus kicking out KKK, I mean, we should be able to pull the trigger way easier on this. It shouldn't even be a matter of dispute.
I was against kicking out GoProud, but I mean, like, if they're willing to kick out GoProud,
right? And you know, the thing is, I think reasonable.
This guy who refuses to denounce the KKK. Well, right. to be fair, he did denounce David Duke and the KKK a few months prior to that interview on CNN.
Right. So what's changed? I mean, does he need those votes
why
now?
Did he deny it?
Exactly.
And I'll tell you why. It's because he knows that there is a large
significant
following from this white supremacist, ultra-nationalist camps support Trump. And they're a large part of his online attack force, too. I mean,
just online, Brandon. They have done robocalls where they are saying you cannot vote for the Cubans, and white genocide is occurring, and Donald Trump is the only man who can stop the white genocide. I mean, this is insane.
I mean, there are storm sites calling him glorious leader and ultimate savior, and I'm not exaggerating. They are doing that in all seriousness.
Yeah, they're not being ironic. They think they're being funny and ironic, but you know, they're not. So, I mean, some people think they're being funny and ironic because, oh yeah, it's online and everything. And you know, there are good satire and irony sites that do this stuff well.
Oh, no, the one I'm talking about,
these guys aren't it.
A legit site that has gained popularity. Especially since the shooter who went into the church, Dylan Roof, was it?
Dylan Roof.
I try not to remember their names.
Yeah. And then like recently with Trump coming out, this site literally came out and like opened up all sorts of support for Trump and has gained some serious popularity, international attention, by the way, in support of Trump. So, yeah. I mean, and they are calling him glorious leader, and they're doing that in all seriousness.
Yeah,
this is where they are.
That is where they are. There are a lot of people who watch a movie like American History X, mm-hmm. and they forget the last 20 minutes of it. And mm-hmm. all they see is I'm a tough neo-Nazi guy and look how cool I am and, you know, race matters and blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And they don't realize that at the end, the guy's brother is dead. Mm-hmm. He's changed his mind and he's being chased by white racists for the rest of his life and has mm-hmm. had to deal with that. I mean, this leads to bad things. This is hate straight up. And if you allow hate to come in, real hate. And I'm not talking about the liberal, no hate stuff. Yeah. I'm talking about real, literal, visceral hate for other people.
Let me remind our listeners and our watchers what the GOP is about. The Republican Party was founded as the party of anti-racism. We fought to end slavery. We fought for civil rights. All right. We are the party of real equality.
Someone
come in and completely destroy that narrative by saying, oh, Mexicans are bad, kick out all the Muslims, and blah, 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 religious tests. This completely goes against the principle that we were founded on.
You're right. I want to just say one thing, though. It doesn't come in and destroy a narrative. It comes in and destroys the truth.
That's what I'm saying.
The problem. Yeah. Well, yeah, but you use the word narrative to come in and destroy this narrative about the GOP. It's not a narrative. Oh, it's the truth. We came from liberty for all men. It doesn't matter your color. Abolition was our cause. I mean, and today we may not be there. If Trump wins on Super Tuesday and we don't have a co-aligning of people behind one solitary candidate to take him out, I'm afraid that the GOP is done. And if so, I'm going to have to say good riddance because I want no part of a party that is being run by people inflamed by race passions.
Me either. And that's why I've got a piece coming out soon to elaborate on this point, but I will not be voting for Donald Trump if he wins the GOP nomination.
I will not either.
I won't be voting him, but also to Aaron's point, I mean, this is all also based on what he said now, because quite frankly, it would not surprise me if 2 days after getting the nomination, he's on Univision and in Spanish coming out in support of amnesty.
Oh, he probably will. He probably will. He'll do whatever it takes to win.
Yeah, this is the presidency of Trump.
You know, there was a tweet the other day where Trump had retweeted something that basically said after the killing in San Francisco where that illegal alien killed that girl.
Now, see, yeah. I thought he meant the terror attack in Los Angeles.
Oh, maybe it was. No, yeah, you're right. It was Sacramento. So it was a tweet saying, you know, after the Sacramento attack, Trump has made me feel safe and blah, 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 blah. And, you know, I retweeted it with something in front of it that said, you know, after the Reichstag fire, Hitler made me feel safe.
Yeah.
That's what's going on here. People are setting aside their thinking because they are scared. But mm-hmm. we need to overcome the fear, because fear is what leads to you dying on the battlefield.
Exactly.
If you don't overcome the fear, you die.
And let's face facts. I mean, we are a nation who is, yes, we are hated throughout the world by terrorist organizations and radicals. To put it at the level that, you know, a terrorist could walk into your home tomorrow and blast you, the chances of that happening are very minimal. Very, very, very minimal. It could happen, but let's face facts, it's not going to. We do have enemies, and we need to look at them, we need to come at them from a point of strength. Donald Trump does not possess the strength needed to face these people down. He is all talk. If you notice him throughout debates, whenever he is confronted, and I mean like not just, you know, from a distance, I mean confronted, he wilts. He backs down. He's a coward. Donald Trump will not save you.
Well, and the thing of it is a man with no morals or principles will always crumble when challenged. Mm-hmm. And I'm glad people are finally doing it. And I'm going to reiterate a point I made on Twitter as well about bullies and how you deal with them. You cannot mm-hmm. just hit a bully once. You have to hit them and beat them down and take their pride in front of an audience. And that's mm-hmm. how you defeat a bully.
Exactly. Exactly.
And on that pleasant note,
hey, we should all do a one more thing, because I got a one more thing.
Yes, exactly. Well, good. Then Aaron will start off. Last word for you.
All right, my last word is my pinned tweet. It's been up there for a while. When bad men combine, the good must associate, else they will fall one by one in unpitied sacrifice in a contemptible struggle. As Sir Edmund Burke, and I think he would be on board with Never Trump.
Word. I agree with Aaron. I don't really have much more to say myself. Everything that I could have said, I think I did during this podcast. Y'all, wake up. And that, do not vote this man into office. Do not hand over the keys of the greatest nation on the planet to a bumbling reality show host who has zero knowledge about policy or foreign affairs or anything like that. This is a huge mistake. Never Trump.
And all my final thoughts are March 18th, season 2 of Daredevil on Netflix. Never Trump.
Yeah, Punisher's coming.
Yeah. So for Brandon, for Aaron, and for everyone watching on the Every Joe podcast network, thank you for watching. EJEveryJoe.com, hashtag EJPC, hashtag Never Trump. Help us out, America.
Get us out of here!